Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Hey, Bridget.
Oh, hi, Katie.
Welcome, listeners.
You know, one of my favorite parts of when we start this is we make a joke about how it's so fun to start these laughing. And at no point do we plan for that. But inevitably, one of us has said something stupid or ridiculous
right before
you hit that button. And so it just like happens, which I think is the best.
Right.
I like that it's organic, but it's still weird. Very funny.
Welcome, listeners.
Hi, everybody.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we are Mox & Cox.
Katie's a Mock. I'm a Cock. And that stands for Mocktails and Cocktails.
We feel like we have to explain this now.
We do explain that each time, just in case anybody thinks that we're going to be throwing around dicks. We aren't.
Non-dicks.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It was real awkward when my attorney and my banker were like, hey, was this spam? Nope, not spam.
I think about that every time we're on Instagram or Facebook or any of the things where, you know, we want to start following people.
We want friends.
And you're just like, ooh, are they going to think I'm spam?
Yeah.
You see the little request thing in the corner and they're like, oh, that says Cox in it.
Yeah, no thanks.
No.
But Cox just stands for cocktails. So it's safe.
Because I still imbibe while Katie does not.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that a little bit today
as opposed to all the other days where we just leave that alone.
That is why we're here, actually, to talk about all the uncomfortable things around drinking that nobody likes to talk about. We decide to air it out for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, if nobody's gonna start the conversation, then the conversation doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like a tree in the woods.
Anyway, where were we?
We are going to talk about what we're drinking today.
I love talking about what we're drinking today. I was actually really sad the last time we recorded a podcast, we forgot to drink something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not like us.
It's not like us. But we had a guest and, you know, people will hear about that later.
Oh, the last podcast. I got it. I thought you meant the last episode with
So it's one of my favorite things to do because this is a new one that we're trying live on air. So we've
so funny. Good, keep going.
We're live, even if the audience isn't.
We said the exact same thing last time.
Oh,
it's okay. Can you hear it? I don't even like ice, but Bridget insisted we try this on ice today.
Yeah, because I'm sick of trying stuff warm, and I don't understand why you drink stuff warm
today. We are trying Recess. If you haven't tried Recess or seen it all over your Facebook and Instagram feeds like I did, Zero Proof Margarita, this one is. But we've also had the Blood Orange and
Cherry.
Black Cherry. Yes. So this is a hemp and adaptogen infused sparkling mocktail with lime and agave. Calm, cool, collected.
We have absolutely adored the other flavors of this.
And this one is really good.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Recess. This is my go-to drink right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, genuinely.
Oh.
I love it. And it's not great for our stock, but it's great for me. We can always order more.
We can. And I think that we have a code for you guys. So we're going to put that in the episode notes. This one's good, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very light margarita. It's limey.
Yeah.
Limey. The lime is really, really good. It's really crisp. It's crisp. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I love that word, but it is a really apt description for what this is.
It is. Recess says, we canned a feeling, calm, cool, collected. A margarita without the hangover for the you are on your best days.
I love that.
I know. That's really good. This has hemp extract, which centers the body and eases the day.
Mm-hmm. And it does. I mean, I think they're great. I love them. The blood or is blood orange the other one we had?
Yeah.
The black cherry. I am obsessed with both of those.
Mm-hmm. So this one is really good.
I expect this one to fall right in line. I think it's good. I think it's crisp.
You have to read the adaptogens one because I don't have my glasses on.
Okay. I don't know if it's thionine. Oh, it's thionine.
Okay.
So it has L-thionine, lemon balm, ginseng, all to help maintain balance, which never a bad thing. So, ever. You know, it's I like the hemp extract portion of it. And, you know, there's a lot of different schools of thought on this, especially in, you know, your drier months or for your non-drinkers, if, you know, hemp is good or not.
Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure it's good.
It is, but I think that not everybody is on the same page if you're not drinking alcohol that you can, like, use weed.
Oh, yes. There is lots of school of thoughts on this.
I think there's lots of schools of thought on whether or not this is.
I think it's called California Sober.
And one of my favorite drinks that I think that we'll highlight on here at some point too is Untitled Art just came out with a new non-alcoholic THC beer. Mm-hmm. And it is so good.
It's real good.
And I.
Similar tasting to this, actually.
It is because it's kind of a.
It's a limey lemonade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a lemonade tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a beer.
Right.
So what
fizz?
But what did we call that? Like a summer shanty.
Yeah.
But like a little greener. Okay. For lack of a better term.
It was good.
I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. I really like it. It has it packs a little bit more of a punch in terms of your relaxing portions
agents.
Of it. Yeah, than I think these do, but very, very good.
Well, it's not illegal.
No.
They're selling it in Wisconsin,
so it's not legal.
It's not like the fully leaded portion of weed.
Right.
Because it's not legal in Wisconsin.
Right. It's Delta 9.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good enough for Tony Evers. It's good enough for us. I guess.
Market. I think that's great.
So recess. We do love some recess. This has been really fun to keep trying.
They've got
quite a few different options. They've got some hemp and adaptogens and then just adaptogens.
Not all of their flavors have the CBD or things like that in it. But
yeah.
I think all have been really good. All are
and
really
they're
good
tasty.
Flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll find that code for you and we'll put that in the description too.
Yeah.
So yay. I love trying new stuff on here.
We do. The amount of stuff that we are trying, I just ordered like 3 different alcohol-free things online to try and to use for our boxes.
And then we had another company or two reach out to us this week to send us other samples. So we're very, very excited about all of that.
And we'll keep them coming.
Yeah, we do the work so you don't have to.
Right. And I read an article this week about followers versus subscribers on podcasts.
Okay. Tell me.
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Followers, because the term following or follower has been more accepted among social media platforms, and subscribers has become more acceptable as something paid. You can follow us on any platform you like, and you'll be able to get updates on when we put out new episodes or whatever. We don't have a subscription.
Yeah, everything's for free.
Everything is for free. But there are, like, to subscribe to a podcast now does sort of mean that you're going to pay for either advanced information, get to listen to things early, or you might get more premium podcasts or premium guests or whatever it is. So you can give us a follow and our information will pop up, which means that you'll now be seeing some little 5-minute clips from us, which are going to be our codes that we've been getting from companies for discounts for you.
Because we never want you to pay full price for something if you don't have to.
Right.
And if you're not like in desperate need of something today,
right,
it is totally within, you know, your financial interest to use the code. Like some of ours are huge. They are up to 25% off.
Yeah.
A quarter of the price off just ordering through a code instead.
Yeah.
Like brilliant.
Lots of times free shipping.
Yeah, free shipping. Yeah. Those are usually on top of free shipping. And so
yeah.
if we can save you some money
That's what we're here for. Yeah. And so you can try a bunch of stuff.
Totally. But like, I had one of my favorite doctors in the world would go through and he'd say, you know, a prescription for this is going to cost you this. Or you can get the generic version at Costco for $8. Yeah. So I would just go to Costco.
Yeah.
And so
I love a doctor like that.
I love doctors like that. I want to be that person. So if we can
save you, Dr. Esser, thank you.
Yeah. So
thank you for a coupon, Dr. Esser.
So if we can save you some dollars, we're going to do that. What are we talking about today?
We are nearing the end of dry January.
By nearing the end,
we mean the day this drops, it is the end.
Oh, that's true.
It's the last day.
What's really funny is I keep talking to people about it as if it's the end. Like all week I've been talking
from the
about
13th of January. Right. You're like, I keep talking what I've learned.
I have been talking about what I've learned and how I've learned
for
so
weeks
much
now.
For weeks. And everybody last week is like, you know, you've got an entire week left, like an entire quarter of the month that you have. And I was like, oh my God, I can learn so much more. Like, there's so much left to learn.
Just as a recap, what have we learned, Bridget?
I mostly learned that not everything is about me.
Okay.
I think that was a biggie that, you know, what you do or don't do has a bit of a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And I think that that was a really, really important note. I also learned that I can go to all of these events and all of these activities and drink whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And have the same experience and the same fun. And, you know, we've gone over those, you know, fears before. And as it turns out,
we will again.
And I look forward to that too. But as it turns out, doing it will show you that it, you know, you can.
Yeah. And yeah.
So I have learned a lot about that. I've also learned where to go, what to drink. And thanks to the tools that Katie has put out there in the universe, I felt very prepared and I have had a lot of fun.
Question for you, because that's just who I am. How it would be weird for you to answer this any other way.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
How important has the non-alcoholic options been? Do you think?
How important? I would argue that in my experience, crucial.
Okay.
Because
if you just had water, if you just went through dry January and just decided you weren't going to participate mm-hmm. in any alcohol-free options, this is sort of a biased question, but I think you'll give me a truthful answer. Like how important has it been? Plus you're a huge water drinker anyway.
Yep. Yeah. She says that cause I have a giant glass of water with me right now.
And you also don't drink a lot of water.
I drink a lot of water. Water is my favorite drink. So like, that's my choice all the time. Water is my favorite. That's my preference for most things. And I always order that with something. Like if I'm out to dinner, the water is just as important as whatever else I got. So for me, how important was the non-alcoholic options instead of just being forced into a situation where I drank water or Diet Coke? I think it was extremely important to me. I think it was crucial to my success because I felt that I was having the same experience then. I really enjoyed all of the different non-alcoholic beers. In fact, I was even happy with the Heineken Zero. Which is kind of a, you either love it or you hate it kind of. It's a very...
it tastes just like the real thing.
Yeah, but it's kind of a polarizing beer.
Oh.
Because not everybody really likes Heineken. And so if you really like Heineken, you'll love Heineken Zero.
Yeah.
But for me, it actually was like a nostalgia thing. When the first Heineken Zero that I had in January, I was like, oh my God, this tastes like college. And so I was totally fine with it because there were a couple of different establishments where that was the only beer that they had. And this is not a knock on Heineken.
No, it is a knock on the establishments.
It's a knock on the establishments because
I
think everybody should have more than one thing because it's not hard.
No.
Like, and your distributors bring it.
They will. Just ask them. Like, I mean, they're probably going to make a face at you, but just ask them.
Right. So I do think it's odd when establishments only have one.
Yeah.
But I also am used to an establishment that has arguably the biggest in the county.
Yeah.
With every beer and every
Yeah. And then it sort of makes it surprising to go anywhere else and be like, oh, you have one and it's Heineken.
And I get that because we spend a lot of time at your joint. And so like,
And also I spend a lot of time searching.
Right. But we're a little bit.
I would say 7/8 of our stuff does not come from a distributor.
Right.
I have to order it in separately.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of stuff that does come from a distributor.
Yeah.
Just not necessarily as great.
Right.
But definitely options.
For sure.
And, you know, so we're a little bit spoiled.
Like if you can get Sam Adams,
absolutely. You've got
one of the best NA beers on 100%. The market. Yep. So.
Yeah. So it's all about choices.
Yeah.
But so we're a little bit spoiled here to be able to do that. But I do think that it made all of the events that I did better. I don't think that I would have had,
yeah, hindsight's 2020.
I know, but it's tricky because I don't want to say that you have to have that to have fun either.
No, it's just a tool.
But for me, I thought it was a really, really necessary tool because I haven't quit drinking.
Right.
But I've paused it. And so I think that for me, I really liked being able to have something in my hand that was going to be the same.
Yeah.
And I loved them all. Yeah. I loved all of the beers. I thought it was great.
Such a great segue. You are like a segue professional. One day, you're going to come to work.
And there's going to be a fucking segue.
There's going to be a segue with a huge red ribbon on it. There is no doubt. The segue into our topic today, that Bridget just like served up on a silver platter to me. Thank you for answering my question, by the way.
I'm here for you. So as we're closing dry January, it reminds me of all of the different comments and discussions that we have had in the last 4.5 weeks and what we have learned out of them. But one of the main things that keeps coming out is when people listen to us or watch our lives or something, something inside them inevitably tries to relate to whatever we're talking about, which is the absolute best part about doing this.
Yes. It's the conversation.
It's the only goal we have. It's changing the conversation. It's taking on what can be a little bit uncomfortable, but doing it with a little bit of humor and a little bit of grace and having fun with it. But what we've learned is how what we say has people kind of taken stock and reflecting on themselves a little bit. And there seems to be, and we talk about this a lot too, this black and white thing, and it's this all or nothing. And if I'm not, you know, exactly like Bridget, I must be like Katie. Or if I'm not Katie,
it's very polarizing.
And it has unfortunately kind of boxed everybody in.
Yes.
Especially you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of gray.
Yeah.
In
the magic happens, right, Bridget?
The magic happens in the gray. But there's a lot of gray area drinkers. It is not all or nothing. And everybody who quits drinking isn't an alcoholic. Not every person who quits is because they have reached a rock bottom. Not everybody who takes breaks from drinking is because they have a problem. There are, on any given day, 545 billion different reasons why you may or may not have a drink. And unfortunately, when people are trying to put themselves in something that relates, they're either like, well, if I'm not that, then I definitely have no problem. I definitely don't need to take a break. I don't need to do this because clearly she had this or she has that. And I think it's worth addressing because there are so many different paths and so many different kinds of drinkers or non-drinkers. And I don't want anybody to box themselves in because they don't know that there's other options.
And arguably, I am a black and white thinker.
Not even arguably, you are.
I am a black and white thinker, but I've gotten better.
You've gotten great.
I am trying to find the magic in the middle where all the work is and the journey and all of that stuff. One of the things I think I would like to address, and I've sort of learned this in the last, like, since we started the podcast, I think, or the lives, or when I talk about being sober. I actually saw a video of Drew Barrymore the other day, and she doesn't drink anymore.
I think she doesn't drink or have sex.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I think she is sober and abstinent.
So I was watching this, you know, whatever video on Instagram or whatever, reel. It's probably searching for some inspiration. And she said something that really sort of opened my eyes. She said, "I quit drinking. I'm not sober or anything. I just don't drink anymore." And I thought, what the fuck? And so I sort of went on a rabbit hole chase, right? Like I do in my brain. And I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? Like there's so many terms around this, right? And a term leads somebody to believe one thing or another about somebody or about something. And the alcohol-free world is one of them, right?
Well, whether there's so many stigmas attached.
Whether you're sober curious, you're alcohol-free, you're zero proof, you're sober, you're, I mean, whatever it is, it's, if you call yourself something, it's attached to the stigma.
Yep.
And one of the things that I've sort of been left, sort of been let off the hook a couple of times that I know about personally because I quote unquote had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have also put that out to the world that I am sober. I'm 500 plus days sober. I've been tracking my days, that sort of thing. So, and I definitely call myself sober. It's not that I didn't find my drinking problematic. It's, but I also made the decision to no longer drink alcohol. Nobody made it for me.
Right. And nobody, it didn't, it was a choice.
It was a choice for me. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's a choice for everybody?
No.
Absolutely not. The choice I make to never drink again and to say that out loud is my choice. The choice for you to take a break for 31 days is your choice. This isn't about a lifestyle. We're not anti-alcohol. We're not anti or pro really anything. I'm not asking people out here to go and like follow my path and become sober.
You've never asked me.
Do you want me to?
I do not. No, thank you.
The only thing that I have done, I think, and maybe somebody's going to disagree with this and call me preachy or whatever. The only thing that I have done is shared my experience.
Yeah.
And open the door to somebody who might be sharing a similar experience by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But because the perception is that I had a problem, I get congratulated for 500 days. I get lots of that of girls, lots of kudos, I get gifts. I get celebrated for it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody that makes a decision temporarily on a Tuesday, we use Tuesday a lot, I don't know why, on a Tuesday gets questioned.
Right.
So like, and then of course it just feeds the monster of you can't quit drinking unless you have a problem.
Right. Or you can't make any sort of an adjustment unless you have a problem.
And it's just not true.
It's just not true. Because any adjustment that I have made, and I would argue that I have made adjustments in the last probably year or so just for me. I've been pretty clear about it. I don't drink on Mondays because I don't sleep particularly well, even if it's only one or two drinks. That's me. That's my biological response. So if I have a beer or two after something on a Monday, then I start from my perspective behind on Tuesday, and I don't really have the luxury to feel that tired or feel like I'm starting my week from behind. That's not fun for me. That makes the week longer. But I didn't have a problem per se. But I made an adjustment.
Yeah. And my adjustment was that I just don't drink anymore,
right,
because I also felt like I was behind. My drinking became problematic for me and my life.
Right.
So I made a decision to stop.
Yeah. Which is great.
Is there room for people that don't make the decision on their own and go through recovery? And, you know,
because it's a spectrum.
It is such a spectrum. And it's, again, this is this very black and white thinking, but really in the last, I would say since we started this and we really started like digging into these conversations and seeing people's reactions and really like using this social experiment, I guess, we keep learning and keep adjusting and keep finding new ways to look at things and taking people's comments to heart.
Because we can evolve too.
We can evolve too. And we're giving ourselves some grace to evolve. We're giving other people some grace. We're trying to really open up our minds to, there are a lot of perceptions out there about what goes into people's glasses.
Yeah.
And it's more than that. We say it in a very simple term, like you can celebrate, you can do all these things regardless of what's in your glass, but it is more than that.
It is. And I think that the most important thing that we're doing and the biggest goal we have is to just start the conversation.
Yeah.
To just stop making it weird.
Right. And we did talk about this a little bit this morning and we both sort of laughed about this, but imagine if you walked into a bar and you ordered a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon and the bartender looked at you like you had a third eye.
Yeah.
Like you walked into, let's say we at 1909 have a 50-50 menu.
Mm-hmm.
We have 50% non-alcohol, 50% alcohol, mm-hmm. which is not near there, right? We just don't have enough product. And imagine if we got to a point where it was
50-50
mm-hmm. and you came in and one of my bartenders, who would never do this, one of my bartenders looked at you like you were asking for
all of the cash in the register.
Yes. And what that would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
What would it feel like if the drinkers of the world were persecuted for ordering an alcoholic drink? I don't think that happens anywhere.
It's literally never happened.
It's literally probably never happened unless you're asking for a glass of wine in an AA meeting.
But it does happen the other way around.
And all the time.
All of the time. And I'm sure that nobody necessarily intends for their outward reaction to meet that.
Right.
But it does happen and it's consistent and it has happened to us. And it's one of those things where like, fuck, it's tough to be a minority in certain respects. And I think that just a little bit more understanding, the little guy should be the one that stood up
for nobody
has to defend drinkers.
Right.
And
I mean, if somebody turned around to you and said, why are you drinking?
Fuck you. I don't know. Like, yeah.
Like, how would you answer that?
Right.
Well, yeah, it's the same reaction.
So fucking wild because there's absolutely zero recognition in the world that is an issue. Like,
yeah,
people are so concerned about what this means for them personally that they cannot even understand what it would be like for the opposite. Like,
and I feel like a drinker would be offended if you asked him that.
Totally.
Like, if you were just like sitting there and all of a sudden somebody said to me, like, why don't you drink? And I turned around and said, well, why do you?
And I gave this analogy a couple weeks ago, but you never have to come out as a drinker. In the same way, the straight people never have to come out,
right?
Drinkers never have to come out.
No, it's just assumed that you're drinking.
Non-drinkers do, like gay people do, because there is such a minority of that you feel like you owe somebody that. I think that people need to have a little bit of compassion for that because also not everything's about you.
Yeah.
And I think that people kind of forget that.
Yeah.
Because if I don't drink, that's my choice.
Yeah.
If you do, that's your choice.
Right.
That should be the end of it. We do understand, of course,
that it's not.
That it's not.
Yeah.
And we do understand that there are ripple effects to choices and adjustments that have to be made.
Well, also, even in our conversation right now, we're polarizing this.
Mm.
Like, you're either a drinker or you're not a drinker. There are so many drinkers that just want a break.
Yes.
Like, what if you just want to take a fucking break for the weekend?
And that's kind of what I was alluding to in the Monday night.
Yeah.
Or the Tuesdays that we keep picking on.
I know. Poor Tuesdays.
Poor Tuesdays. But it doesn't even have to be a specific day of the week. For me, it is always, I don't do Mondays. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yep.
That's not, unless I'm on vacation or I'm off on Tuesdays, it's just not of interest to me. But I don't also need to, like, if I want to go out to dinner on a Saturday night and I don't feel like it, I just get to do that.
Yeah. And you want it to not be weird.
And I want it to, well, right. And I don't want it to be, why is it always something that we have to explain?
Right.
Like, that just sounds like so much work.
It's so like, much work.
I just, but I, like, also, I would like less work.
Yeah. The people of the world that don't drink to get drunk, which are so many people, right?
So many people are not drinking to get drunk.
You're, I would say it's probably
dinner.
Right. It's probably the majority of the population.
For sure.
What we're talking about is, yes, I am totally abstinent from alcohol. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are problem drinkers out mm-hmm. there. But the amount
but
of people
fucking
in between is like, I think the point that we're missing.
Yes.
Like, we'll admit that we've sort of left that gray area. I don't drink to get drunk.
Totally.
But I don't want to have a beer tonight.
And I don't think that leaving them out is an intentional oversight.
No.
I think that I don't think that we're catering to a particular drinker or non-drinker.
Right.
Our whole intent is just to have a conversation where, regardless if you are black, white, gray, orange, purple,
right,
any of them, that you just get to be.
Yeah.
Like that,
and that you have good options
if you don't
want to be a drinker tonight.
I think that that's 100% true. There are loads of drinkers, probably 90% of all drinkers are the ones that don't drink during the week or don't drink at home or don't drink this or don't drink that or have a cocktail with dinner or a glass of wine with this. Great.
Yeah, but if you don't want to drink on a Saturday night or a Friday fish fry or a Sunday shower, if there's an option there, it might be easier. I don't know. Maybe we got off on the wrong track here. Okay.
Okay. Okay. How do we get out of what we just did?
I know.
But I think that's a fair transition though. All right. So where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Just be cool.
Just be cool, man.
Just be cool, man. Like, I think that is all we want in the world. And I wonder how many times we'll say it in the rest of
but
our
also,
lives.
Also, I do think, you know, we have to be the change.
We do. And I think
we've learned a few things that we just didn't know before. Like, we came into this pretty naive, thinking that we were going to like change the world one mocktail at a time. And while
if we don't go into the world with that level of confidence,
we would have never started.
Right. Like, of course we think we're going to change the world. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, we already did. But we're also learning.
And we're not perfect.
We're not. Well, yeah. We're not.
We're not.
I mean, perfection is an illusion anyway.
Totally. But we're not perfect. And so we take the comments and
for
we
sure.
love
and we want to make sure that our messaging is still empowering people to stand up for themselves when it comes to going to a bar and asking for a non-alcoholic option. We definitely want to make sure that those people are not ever being overlooked, because that's really who we're out here for, is the minority of alcohol-free people, whether it's for an hour, for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, for the rest of your life, whatever that time period is, which A, is nobody else's business, or your reason behind it, also nobody else's business, that we can like let people have the space to do them, right? Like, you mm-hmm. do you, I'll do me. And this is a bigger conversation, obviously. But as it pertains to alcohol, I think just let people be people.
Let people be people sounded pretty good to me. It feels like we could break into song for that.
So Bridget and I talk to each other a number of times a day.
A number of times a day.
Even though she has a real job.
Yep.
We text back and forth all day long, but I have gotten in the habit of also calling her in the morning, either on my way to work or on my way to the gym or right after the gym when I have some epiphany on the treadmill.
Which is convenient for me because it's usually on my way to work.
Right.
And the other day she called me on my way to work, but post gym,
on pre-Starbucks,
which if we can get into that, I mean, the kid that owns a coffee shop going to Starbucks is one of my favorite ironies, but I digress. So anyway,
which is fine.
It's totally fine. There's enough business to go around.
That's right. It's
and also Starbucks
collaboration
is great.
Over and competition.
Also egg bites. Come on.
I mean, the egg bites are the reason I go.
Oh, they're so good.
I feel like they're such a good source of protein.
Oh, but they're just delicious. And they are just delicious. Yep. We love Starbucks.
We do love Starbucks. I mean,
we do.
We don't have a Starbucks near my coffee shop. So,
yeah, they're not competition.
And there's plenty to go around
In every respect.
Right.
But anyway, we digress. Mm-hmm.
So, and by going to Starbucks, it supports Bridget's family.
Oh, that's true. I was like, wait a second. Yes. And so, you know.
We love Starbucks and Crossroads.
We love Starbucks and Crossroads. Plastic makes it possible. Anyway. Anyway. So the other day I was driving to work and Katie was driving through Starbucks. And
there was a line.
There was a line. But so what's great about it and what I love about technology in 2023 is that we talk to each other like through our cars.
Yeah.
So you can hear everything around you. So she drives through the Starbucks. So I'm like, okay, so she's ordering her coffee and her egg bites. And I know this. I mean, I knew
I said, hold, please.
She said, hold, please. But I was also still there.
Yeah, I did want you to keep talking, though.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't want the Starbucks
lady.
Yeah,
so I didn't order through Starbucks.
Right. She could have
actually, she's going to have a chocolate croissant, too. No. Yeah.
So I said, hold, please. So she would be quiet.
I'd be quiet.
And I said,
so she orders her egg bites and her coffee and the barista at the counter, I can hear it because I'm still there. I'm just being quiet. She says, okay, can I have a name for the order? And Katie says,
Katie.
And she responds, Jean?
Katie.
And actually kept going just like that. So then you're like, Katie. And she's like, ah, Dee Dee.
In which Bridget responded, I am so happy I'm here for this right now. Because like, Katie.
Katie.
Yes, arguably the most popular name on earth.
Right, like literally one of the most common names, at least in our country.
Katie. More common than Jean.
Or Dee Dee.
So we this hard before.
I have been enjoying this for 3 days and been calling her Jean for 3 days too because it's like given me such fucking joy.
Well, and the funny thing is when I drove out of there, this is just a very interesting insight into how Bridget and my conversations go. But I told her as soon as she said Jean, the letters G-E-N-E popped into my head. Not G-E-A-N, the female version, the male version, Jean.
Yeah, no, it was it's definitely G-E-N-E. It wasn't like
it's not the female version,
and
it was Jean. It was the Jean. Male version. Yeah. So now I have been called Jean a number of times through text message with
a G. Yeah, there is no other. No, that's the way that it's being spelled. Thank you.
Well, you also felt that way. You were like,
it was immediate.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Like that was, and I don't even know. Like something else had come up, but that was
no, probably not. No. Probably
but at
nothing.
That exact moment, no, nothing at all. But that exact moment, we both did imagine it in our heads, the G-E-N-E one. And I was like, that's fucking right, Jean.
Jesus, Jean.
Jesus, Jean.
I got one of those this morning
at
5:51 when I was texting from the treadmill all of these epiphanies I had.
Yeah,
about
Jesus, Jean.
Screaming at you.
Yeah.
Today during the podcast.
That was so good, though. That was so good. It still brings me such joy.
Right, Jean. Before the DD, she was like, I am so glad I'm on here for this. That was so great.
I have never been happier to have been. Yeah. And
no,
we're on the phone a lot.
Dee Dee?
Dee Dee? No.
I mean,
Katie.
I should have just left it at Dee Dee, really. I was the only one between the speaker and the window.
You should have just left it at Jean. Yep, sounds good.
And I'm pretty sure there were no jeans in the middle. If I would have said Gene and she would have written G-E-N-E on it, I would have gone and bought a lottery ticket.
But unfortunately, we Gene? Never found out how this was going to end.
I'm not that quick-witted.
Oh my God, it's so good. God, that made me happy.
Yeah.
That made me happy.
So in summary.
Be cool. Gene is.
Gene, wherever Gene is.
I mean, all the genes cool, are.
I guess.
He, she, they, Didi, they
are cool.
Yeah, they're cool. Everybody just be fucking cool.
Yeah. But.
But the moral of the story is just be nice to everybody.
Yeah. The real moral, I think, beyond that is that it's okay to evolve.
It is.
It's okay and to take some light criticism mm-hmm. and we look do. Around and see, oh, I do sort of see their point.
And evolution this. Is cool because, and this is one of my favorite quotes. Oh, God, that got, okay.
Just thinking like evolution is cool because we're no longer monkeys.
Evolution is cool because we're no longer monkeys. But in addition to that, evolution is cool because, and this is one of my favorite quotes, but we all do better when we all do better.
It's
and
so
let's all do better, let's all do
or no better, do better.
Let's all do a little bit better because we can always do a little bit better and we all do better when we all do better.
I like it.
Thanks. So with that,
we'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.